Today's Amud is Tainis Chafayim Abayz. We're holding on Chafayim and Aleph, the second line from the bottom, Darish Rabbi Chiya Bar Lulaini. So we mentioned before a story about Rabbi Chiya Bar Lulaini, and now the Gemara says, brings a memory from him. So says the Gemara, Darish Rabbi Chiya Bar Lulaini, Maidich Siv Tzadik Katamar Yifrach Ke'erez Balvana Nyiska. The Torah seems to compare a tzaddik, the pasuk compares a tzaddik both to a palm tree, a tamar, and to an erez, into a cedar tree. So what's the comparison of a tzaddik to a palm tree and a cedar tree? Says the Gemara, Im Naimar, or says Rabbi Chiya Bar Lulaini, that Im Naimar tamar, lama nemar erez, Im Naimar erez, lama nemar tamar. Why does the pasuk tell him, compare a tzaddik to both of these trees? So explains Rabbi Chiya that ilu nemar tamar v'loy nemar erez, if the pasuk would have just said that the tzaddik is ketamar, he's like a palm tree, and it wouldn't say that he's like an erez, hayisi oimer would have said that ma tamar in gizay machlif av tzaddik chas v'shalom in gizay machlif, that just like a palm tree, if you cut down a palm tree so it doesn't grow back, and so too I would have said that when a tzaddik chas v'shalom eventually after 120 when he's nifter, so in gizay machlif he doesn't come back. He doesn't come back by tchias hamesim. L'kach nemar erez. So therefore, the pasuk also compares the tzaddik to a cedar tree, which is gizay machlif. It does grow back. Now, ilu nemar erez. If the pasuk would have just compared the tzaddik to the cedar tree, v'loy nemar tamar, and it wouldn't have said that the tzaddik is also compared to the palm tree, so then I see oimer ma erez ein oisa peiros av tzaddik chas v'shalom ein oisa peiros. I would have said, so just like a cedar tree, it doesn't have any fruit, so too a tzaddik, he doesn't have any fruit, meaning he doesn't get to have any schar peiroseim, right? But he doesn't have any peiros, any schar in olam haba. So the kach nemer tamar v'nemer erez. So that's why, and that's why in the end we need to have both, that the tzaddik's compared to the tamar, that he does have fruit, and he's compared to the erez, that he is gizay machlif, and that's the comparison. Now ask the Gemara, the erez gizay machlif? Is that really true? A cedar tree, if you cut it, it grows back? V'atanya, but we learned in the Braisa, halakeach ilan mechaveray lakoitz, if a person buys a tree from his friend, but only to use it for the wood, to use it to cut the branches, meaning he's only buying the rights of the branches from his friend. He's not actually buying the tree, meaning so when he returns, eventually he's going to have to return the tree. So when he cuts the branches, he has to cut it in a way that he's not going to destroy the tree. So how does he do that? Magbiyoy min hakarka tefach v'kaitzitz. He has to make sure to leave a tefach of the trunk from the ground, a tefach, he has to make sure to leave that tefach, and then from above that point, he could cut as much wood as he wants, but this way, at least if he leaves that tefach, it's going to eventually grow back, and so that's what he's mechayev to do. Besadin hashikma, a certain type of tree, so then shnei tefachim, that tree requires two tefachim for it to eventually grow back, so then the person has to distance himself two tefachim from the ground and only cut from that point and upwards. Bebesulas hashikma, another type of tree, so then shleisha tefachim, he has to leave three tefachim, bekanim ubegafanim, mina pekakul amaylo, when it comes to reeds and grapevines, so then he has to cut from the pekak, a certain part of the tree, from the pekak, it looks almost like a knot in the tree, so he has to cut only from that point and upwards, but he has to make sure to leave that part and below connected to the ground, and this way it will regenerate. But they call him ubarazim, and when he's cutting a deka, and an erez, so then chayfer lamato umashrish. So then, when it comes to palm trees and cedar trees, he could even dig into the ground and completely uproot the entire tree. He could even take the whole trunk and all the roots out of the ground, lefisha ein gizay machlef, because anyways it's not going to regenerate. So since anyways not going to regenerate, there's no need to leave any part of it still connected to the ground. Point is that you see from this braisa that an erez, a cedar tree, is ein gizay machlef. It doesn't regenerate. Not like what we said before, that an erez regenerates. So says the Gemara, b'mayaskina b'shar mine arazim. That's talking about other types of arazim, meaning there are different types of arazim. There are some cedar trees that are gizay machlef, they do regenerate, and there are some cedar trees that don't regenerate, but there's a lot of different types of cedar trees. K'da Rabbi Barhuna, like Rabbi Barhuna taught us, d'ama Rabbi Barhuna, that asara mine arazim heim. There are actually 10 different types of cedar trees. You can ask a stira from one, from what we said, that the cedar tree regenerates, to a nabraisa which has a cedar tree doesn't regenerate. There are 10 different types of cedar trees. It depends which type you're referring to. Now, what's the makar that there's 10 different types of cedar trees? Shenemer, as the pasuk says, Etzein bamidbar eretz shita v'hadas v'goymer, and the pasuk goes on to list, well, not really 10, but actually 7 different types of cedar trees. However, like we had in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, that Chazal knew of another 3, and in total, therefore, there are 10 different types of cedar trees. Says the Gemara, Vayter Ne'atan Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, the Maisa Rebbe Eliezer. Interesting ma'isa. There's a story with Rabbi Eliezer. Shagazar shalish esrei taniyos al tzibur v'lo yardu geshamim. We spoke about the 13 different fasts, right? The 3, 3, another 7, and total he was geyser the 13th fast on the tzibur because it was a drought. And the ma'isa, even after the 13th fast, they didn't have any rain. After the at the end of the last at the 13th fast, so the tzibur started to leave the shul. They started to head back home. Amar lehem, and Rabbi Eliezer said to them, "Tikantem kvarim latzmechem? Have you dug out graves for yourself? Like, where are you heading? There's still no rain, so it's very nice. The fast is over, but now what? Are you going to go dig some graves for yourself?" And so when the tzibur heard that, so that really touched them. Go kolam bebichia. Everyone started to really cry with emotion. V'yardu geshamim, and then it began to rain. Shuv Ma'isev Rabbi Eliezer. This is an interesting story. Another story with Rabbi Eliezer. Sheyara lefnei ateva va'amer esim va'arba brachos v'loy nana. He said he was dechazan on a fast day for a drought. He said the 24 brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei that's said in the Chazaras Hashatz on this fast day, and he still wasn't answered. Then Yarad Rabbi Akiva Acharav, by the next filo, Rabbi Akiva, he went down to be the chazan. V'amar Avinu Malkeinu Inlanu Melech Ala'ato, Avinu Malkeinu L'mancha Rachim Aleinu. He said just these 2 Avinu Malkeinus, no 24 brachas. He just said these 2 Avinu Malkeinus, V'yardi Geshamim, and it started to rain. So have Maranini Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon started, you know, like gossiping. They started saying, oh wow, look, Rabbi Eliezer couldn't bring the rain. We needed Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is greater than Rabbi Eliezer. However, Yatz Sabasko Vamra, Sabasko came out and told them that Loi Bibne Shazeh Gadol Mizeh, El Shazeh Mavra Midaisav, Vizeh Ena Mavra Midaisav. They said, no, it's not that this one's greater than that one. Rabbi Akiva is not greater than Rabbi Eliezer. That's not why he was able to bring the rain. It's rather, it's because he was Mavir Al Midaisav. The way the Rashi's Chachma actually explains it in Shara Anava and Paragimel Eischas, he says, to be Mavra Al Midaisav means to Ena Midaktik, that sometimes another person might, you know, pain you, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And a person who's mavram midaisav means he doesn't try to get him back. He doesn't try to say something to him. He lets it fly. He's chilled. He's relaxed. He lets, even when someone steps on his toes, he allows the person to go on. And so because Rabbi Akiva had this midah being mavram midaisav, so he was able to be ma'ir that schus, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was kaviyachu mavram midaisav, klape us, and even though we were doing wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still brought the rain. So it's not because Rabbi Akiva was greater, it's just that he had this midah. So, l'chair, you could ask, well, if he had this midah, so that means, by definition, he was greater, no? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Or Yisrael, Simon Chavches, he says a very important insight on this Gemara. He says that, no, Avada, Rabbi Eliezer, you could be very well assured that Rabbi Eliezer had perfectly fine midahs. He was Rabbi Eliezer, he was a Tana. He didn't become a Tana by not working on his midas. Avada, he learned Musar and he worked on his midas and he was Adam Shalem for sure, just like Rabbi Akiva. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, but Rabbi Eliezer had a different derech in Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer, Chazal say Rabbi Eliezer Shmutihu. Shmuti, at least according to one pshat, means he was a Talmud of Shammai. He held that the right way of serving Hashem was to be a kafdun. A kafdun l'kavod ha-Torah, to defend the honor of the Torah, and he held that that was the derech of Avodas Hashem, at least that was for him, to be someone who was more strict in order to show kavod for Torah. So if someone perhaps would wrong him, he would make sure to say something, cover that Torah, and he would stick up for it, not in a gaivadik way. Avada, he was an anav, he was a worked on person, but he held that that was the derech in life, that at least was for him, the derech towards Hashem. That was his derech of avodas Hashem, to be a kafdan. Whereas Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud from the Talmidim of Hillel, he held that no, the proper derech was to work on, was to serve Hashem with anivus, and to be mavar al midaisav, and that's what he held. So they were both, it wasn't Rabbi Kiva wasn't greater than Rabbi Eliezer. They were both Mushlam in their own way. They had their own unique ways of serving Hashem. But it happens to be that with Rabbi Kiva's Mida being Mavram Midaisav, it has this side effect. It has this benefit that it also is Ma'ayru that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mavram Midaisav, Kaviyachol Klapei Us. So it's Loimim Neshes that got Omizah. They were both worked on people. They both worked on their Midas, and they had distinct ways of serving Hashem, which was perfect for each one of them. Rabbi Eliezer was not supposed to be a Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva was not supposed to be a Rabbi Eliezer. They were both perfect in their own ways. However, Rabbi Akiva's Milo had this side effect, had this benefit, that it was able to bring the rain. That's the way Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains this Gemara, again in Or Yisrael, in Simen Chav Ches. Says the Gemara Vayter, now Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Ad Masa Yu Agishamim Yardin, Vat Sibur Paiskim Mitanisam. Until what point? We know we spoke about all the time that, you know, at what point you start fasting for the rain, when do you stop fasting for the rain? Let's say you fast for rain and then it drizzles, so now you could stop fasting. How much does it have to rain for it to be that now you could stop the fasting? Now you could say, now we already have enough rain. So says the Gemara, Kimloi Berach HaMachresha. The amount of rain that you need is like the shear of the Berach HaMachresha, the tool that was used to plow. So the tool that was used to plow, that amount of rain, if let's say when you plow the field, so it makes a furrow into the ground, the amount of rain that could fill up that ditch, that furrow, that's the amount of rain. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say that Becharava Tefach, when it's dry soil, so the way you'll measure it is with a Tefach, if you're measuring it on mediocre ground, so then it's when you see that the rain saturated the ground two tfachim deep into the ground. And ba'avuda, if it's very, very worked on soil, it was already plowed, so then shleisha tfachim, only when you see the amount of rain that goes deep into the ground, three tfachim. So now, all of these are the same shear, meaning let's say it's the same 10 tfachim of rain that came down. Just the way that's presented in different types of soil will be a different way. So if you want to measure it from the soil, so then it's going to depend on which field you're measuring it. If you're measuring a dry field, 10 tfachim of rain is not going to saturate a 10 tfachim at all. It's only going to saturate it one tefach. When you're measuring that on the baininess, you're going to see that there's moisture two tfachim deep into the ground. And when you're measuring that same tfachim in an avuda, in a worked on soil, so then you're going to see that it's saturated three tfachim into the ground. So whatever the shear of how much rain it is, it's the same thing in these three tsiurim, in these three different examples. It's just different ways of measuring it, depending on which type of soil you're looking at, so it's going to present itself differently. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, remember? Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that Ein lucha tefach milmailo she'ein tohoim yaitu lekras le'shleisha tefachem. That there's any time you have a tefach of rain that penetrates into the ground, that saturates the ground, the tefach, so then you have it that from the bottom, the rain goes from the depths, it goes up three tefachem, right? There's mayim tachtoinim and there's mayim al-yoinim. So when the mayim al-yoinim is able to saturate the ground for a tefach, so then the mayim tachtoinim, it goes up three tefachem to greet it. Ask the Gemara of Tanya Tfachayim, but we learned that when you a tefach penetrates the ground and saturates the ground, the tefach, so then the mayim tachtoinim go up two tefachim, not three tefachim. Says the Gemara, like Kasha, kam ba'avuda, kam b'sheina avuda. It depends on how worked on the soil is. If the soil is avuda, if it's very worked on soil, so then if it penetrated the ground, the tefach, it means that there was not necessarily that much rain. It's very when it's a avuda field, so the rain very easily saturates the ground. So if you have it that it went down the tefach, that means it wasn't necessarily that much rain. So then the rain only comes up from the mayim tachtoinim; it only goes up two tefachim. But on the field that's ena avuda, so the fact that it penetrated the ground the tefach means that there was a lot of rain. So then already the ground, the water from the mayim tachtoinim, it reciprocates and it goes up three tefachim because it was more rain, so it's really the same idea. It's just that depending on what type of field, so that's just a way of determining that there was really more rain. On the Ein Avuda field, the fact that it went down the Tefach means there was more rain, so Mamele the Mayim Tachtoinim, it goes up higher as well. Now, Rabbi Lazar said, that kishaminaschin asamayim bechag, when they would do the nisach hamayim, when they would do the nisach hamayim on Sukkos, so tohayim oimer lechaveroi, whatever this means, but it says that the mayim oyoinim would tell the mayim tachtoinim, abo meimaych, that you should bring forth, gush forth your water. That's what the mayim oyoinim would tell the mayim tachtoinim, that you should gush forth your water. Because kol shnei reyim anishaymea, I hear the sound of two friends, referring to the nisach hamayim and the nisach hayayin. I hear two friends, we're about to do nisach hamayim, so bring forth your water. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, tohoyim el tohoyim kairei lekol tzinai recha v'goymer. So you see that the waters talk to the other waters. The mayim elyonim is talking to the mayim tachtoinim, saying, bring forth your water. Now, my rabbi said, "Ladidi chazi lihai rigio." I saw the rigio, which was a malach that was mamuna on Geshem, and it was daming leigla. It looked like a calf, like an ox. U pirsa sevase. Its lips were split. U kaima ben tohima tata l'tohima ilah. And it's situated between the two mayims, between the mayim al yoinim, or between the mayim tachtoinim and the mayim al yoinim. L'tohima ilah amarle. It says to the mayim al yoinim, Chashur meimaych, pour down your waters. And the tohima tata amarle, and it says to the lower waters, it says, Abba meimaych, gush forth your waters. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Anitzanim niru ba'aretz, and the pasuk concludes, V'kol hatar nishma ve'artzenu. I hear the sound of the Torah is referring to the shore, so you see that this malach looks like a shore, so he's bringing this pasuk to show that that's what this malach looked like, that this malach looks like a shore, okay? Difficult Gemara to understand up here, just what the pshat is exactly, but that's what the Gemara says. Says the Gemara right there now. So he mentioned in the Mishnah different shitas about if they're fasting and then it rains early in the day, right when they started to fast. So when we could say that now the fast is canceled. So Tan Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, if they were fasting for a drought and it started to rain already before Netzachama, so then lo yashlimu, they don't have to finish the fast, because being that it's not yet Netz, most people haven't even necessarily woken up yet, so it's as if the fast didn't start yet and already rained, so then you don't have to actually fast, the fast is cancelled. However, la'achar Netzachama, once it's already Netzachama, so then yashlimu, so then already, then already you have to finish the fast, because then already once the fast started, so then you automatically have to complete it. Devar Rabbi Meir, that's the shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that's not Tali and Nates, rather it's Tali and Chatzais. So kaidem chatzais lo yashlimu. If it starts to rain before chatzais ayoim, so then you don't have to complete the fast, because it's as if almost you didn't start the fast, because tamid chachamim only start eating by chatzais. So if it started raining before chatzais, it's as if the fast didn't start. Oh, every day they don't eat before chatzais, the tamid chachamim, and therefore today is no different. It's as if the fast didn't start, and therefore they don't have to fast. La'achar chatzais, but after chatzais yashlimu, then they do have to fast, because then for sure it's like the only reason why they're not eating is because of the fast. Once they started fasting, so then they automatically have to complete the fast. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi, a third shita now, that kaidam tesha sha'is yashlimu, la'achar tesha sha'is yashlimu. The cutoff point is the ninth hour of the day. Now where do we get this from, that the cutoff point is the ninth hour? Shekein matzinu ba'achav melech Yisrael, we find by Achav, when he was fasting, shehis'anu mitesha sha'is ulamayla, he fasted only from the ninth hour and onwards. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ha'reisa ki nichna Achav, and it was considered like he was a fasting. So the pasuk considers Achav as if he fasted, even though he only fasted, we have a Messiah from the ninth hour and onwards. So you see from there that even fasting from just the ninth hour and onwards, that's considered a fast. If so, if it starts to rain before the ninth hour, we could consider it as if like the fast didn't start yet. Only after the ninth hour, that's when the fast has considered that it started. And Mamela, once it started and it hasn't yet rained, so then you have to finish the fast. But the cutoff point is going to be the ninth hour of the day. Now, says the Gemara story, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Gazar Tanisa. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia was Gazar Tanis, V'yardulam Geshamim La'achar Anetz Achama. It started to rain after Nates. So, Savar Lashluminu, so they didn't know the halacha, or they did know the halacha, but they thought the halacha followed Rabbi Meir. And therefore, they said, so they wanted to finish the fast, because it's ready Anetz Achama, the fast already started. So they figured, okay, we have to finish the fast. However, Amar Le Rabbi Ami said to the Kehila, that no, Kedam Chatzai Sayyar, Yom V'Acher Chatzai Sayyah V'Acher Chatzai Shaninu. That it's the cutoff point is Chatzai, it's not Netzachama, and therefore, even though it's true that it's already Netzachama when it started to rain, since it hasn't yet reached Chatzai, so therefore, you do not have to complete the fast. Now says the Gemara another story that Shmuel HaKatan Gazer Tanisa. Shmuel HaKatan was once Geizer Tainis V'yardulam Gishamim Kaidem HaNeitzachama, and it started to rain before Neitzachama. Kesfurin HaAmloi Mar Shvachay Shal Tziburu. So everybody thought to say that, wow, you know, this is such a Hashem who must really love us. He didn't want us to fast. He cares so much about us. He gave us the rain before Neitzachama. This must be a real sign of a praise for the Tzibur. It must be Hashem really loves us. Shvach Shal Tziburu. However, Amar Lehem, Shmuel HaKatan, said to the Tzibur, that no, it's the opposite. Emshel Lechem Mashal, I'll give you a Mashal, a parable. Lamad Avar Doime, what's it comparable to? Le'evet Shemivakish Parnes Pras Mirabai. To an Evet, he asks for some money from his master. And Amar Lehem, and so the master says to the Evet, or he says to his advisors, he says, Tanu Loi Va'al Eshma Koilei. Just give him the money. I don't want him to talk to me. I don't want to hear his voice. So just give him the money. So too, the way you're supposed to view this matzav, that we got the rain before Netzachama, is that it's not a good sign. It means Hashem doesn't want to hear our tefillas, chas v'shalom. Shuv Shmuel HaKatan Gazer Tanisa, another story that Shmuel HaKatan was Gazer HaTainis, V'yardulam Geshamim La'achar Shkiyas HaChama. And it started to rain this time right when the fast finished, after Shkiyas HaChama. So now everybody knew from the previous story that when it rains before you start fasting, it's like Hashem doesn't want to hear you. So this must be the good sign. It's after we had the whole fast. Hashem heard us the whole entire day. He gave us rain. So Kesfur Ma'am Le'imer Shvachay Shal Tziburu. So everybody thought to say, okay, now this is a real sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He wanted to hear us so badly, he waited until the fast was over, until he gave us the rain. However, Amar Lehem Shmuel, Loi Shavach Shal Tziburhu. Shmuel said to them that no, this is not a praise. Ella Emshel L'chamashol, I'll give you a mashol. Mamad Aver Doimel La'evet Shemavakis Pras Mirabui, to an Evid who asks for some money from his master. V'amer Lehem, and the master says to his advisors, Hemtinu Lo Achias Makmeik V'itztayer V'achar Kach Tenuloi. Wait until Yimamish pains himself and hurts himself at the end of the day, and then give him the money that he's asking for. But first, let's give him a little bit of pain. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave us the rain, Mamish after the fast, right at the end of the fast, so that's not a good sign. So ask the Gemara, so we can never win. So when do we ever have a good sign? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never loves us. Chas this has to be some time when there is a good sign. So according to Shmuel, when's there ever a good sign? So Amar, he explained that Amar Mashiva Ruach Neshav Zika, Amar Mayrde Geshem V'Asa Mitra. The good sign is when the Chazim, when he says Mashiva Ruach, and right away a wind starts to blow, and you say Mayrde Geshem, right away wind starts to come down. That's a good sign. That means Hashem wanted to hear us, but it was quick. You said your thing. You said Mashiv Ruach Mayrde to Geshem, and then right away Hashem gives the rain. That's when it's considered a good sign.